opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to the Don't Back Down show. This is Don Beischel here with Joanne Suppressi and Vicki Lightcap. Stan is out gallivanting like usual, so who knows where the guy is at.
I know. Good thing we could show up on this rainy day.
But hey, I can tell you this. He's not out on the golf course right now.
And he's not out on the boat.
That's right. So Stan, where are you?
You best be calling in here.
So welcome everybody to the Don't Back Down show. I haven't come up with a joke, and I know that I'll let Vicki come up because we have to keep the tradition going.
I think we just made it with Stan, so we're good.
So joining us today, we have two guests scheduled. We have Dasha Pruitt, who is running in the 5th Congressional District against Mary Gay Scanlon. Dasha is looking to become the first female immigrant elected to Congress in the Republican Party. And let me tell you something. That would be the most fantastic thing in the world.
That's history.
Well, it is history. And
oh,
not only that.
Oh, my God.
And not only that, she can counter the squad.
Absolutely.
You know, we can send Omar back to where she came from.
Oh, you know, we were just talking about debates. Could you see that on the congressional floor?
Look, I have nothing against.
Wow.
I have nothing against anybody.
Correct.
But when they speak out against the country that they're supposed to be representing, I have a problem with that. So anyway, we have Dasha on the air. Dasha, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Hi, guys.
I got to listen to you on with Christine Flowers this morning. You did fantastic as usual. So it's great to have you on the show. So why don't you tell everybody what you're running for, what you're doing, all the good stuff that's going on.
I'm running for the 5th Congressional District. And which covers Delaware County, parts of South Philadelphia, a little sliver of Montgomery County.
Isn't there a little tidbit of Chester in there too, someplace?
I think it's like two blocks.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you never know; those two blocks could be the difference.
Exactly. Unfortunately, it's like all farm area. I think it's vacant, but
well,
it's okay.
Cows can vote. Cows can vote.
Hey,
you know.
They do in Northwestern Montgomery County.
If dead people can vote, cows can vote. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly. But our district is size-wise, it's smaller than the other districts, but by population, it's very dense and very diverse.
So one of the things that we were just talking about with Kathy Barnett, and I know you're dedicated to this, is getting your message out to the minority community. And that's one of the things that Mary Gay Scanlon, you know, she'll show up when it's election time, but then after that, she's seen few and far between. So what's your plan to get out into the minority community and let them know that, you know, Dasha Pruitt not only is here for your vote, but she's going to be here when she gets elected to Congress?
You know, what I keep saying is it doesn't matter whether we are Republican, Independent, Democrats, whether we are white, Asian, or Black, whether Hispanic, we all have the same issues. We all want the same things. We want roof over our heads. We want to be able to put food on the table. We want good education for our children. We want to have lower taxes. We want to have jobs. You know, there's a lot of other, like, we have the same issues that we want safety and security, you know. So it doesn't matter what we all want the same things.
Right. And I think that's important for people to realize is that, you know, regardless of where we grew up, what the color of our skin is, who we worship, what our sexual orientation is, in the end, we all have the same blood running through our veins. So, you know, I think it's important that we, as the Republican Party, lets people know, you know, that the Democrats don't hold the franchise on equality. You know, we're the ones that actually fought for that. So I think it's important that we know that, you know. And now you have an interesting a life story, you know, where you started from. And I think, as I've said to you when I've talked to you, that your life story is what's going to connect you to the people. And it's really imperative that people know what your life story is, but not only that, how it connects to what's going on right now in the country. Why don't you tell people about that?
Well, you know, as I keep saying, I always start off my this, but how's everybody enjoying their 4 months of socialism? I think we're going on to 5 months soon.
Yes.
This is, and you know what? Every morning when I wake up, I say, you know what? Yesterday was horrible. I can't imagine it getting any worse. And every day it does. Every day we're losing more and more of our rights. Every day something happens. There's more looting. There's more riots. There's more destruction of our country. There's deterioration of our fabric, of our American fabric, the platform that this country was built on. You know, we are killing the foundation of this great nation. And I honestly, I get chills because I am just disgusted by what is going on and by what our government officials are doing. Instead of uniting us, instead of coming and helping us to navigate this pandemic and this job losses and all of this stuff, trying to separate us and destroy us more. It's disgusting. You know, I am so fed up. It's Mary Gay Scanlon on 4th of July was marching for Black Lives Matter. And when they were back the blue, guess who was MIA? It was MIA Mary, because she could not show up. She's defunding our police, yet, you know, supporting this whole, when we have 69th Street being looted and our bank telling machine.
Dasha, I think you there? Uh-oh.
Now, when are we going to start coming together and uniting our communities?
Dasha,
sorry,
there was...
I'm like getting round.
I know. I love your passion. This is Vicki. I was listening to you on your Facebook page where you were doing these nightly things. And I would love if you could retell the story about when you walked into the grocery store and all of a sudden you felt like you were no longer in America.
Yeah, you know what? I never realized that I had post-traumatic stress disorder from growing up in socialist country, where you really had to, you know, fetch for yourself. Where if you wanted to get bread, you got in the bread line at 3 a.m. because at 7 a.m. when the bakery would open, by 7:30 everything was gone. So it was craziness. And so when we, you know, when this pandemic started, I thought it was going to be like a Pennsylvania snowstorm where we're going to be shut down for a few days, you know, maybe a week, and then everything reopen.
Yeah, that's
and
what
just
we all
like
thought.
I do with every, right. And just like with every snowstorm or pandemic, I would go to the supermarket and just get stuff that I would bake, like, you know, mac and cheese, some soups and stuff like that, just in case. And when Rich and I walked into our Giant, which is ginormous Giant, and I looked around me and saw these crazy lines and empty from toilet paper, which was a luxury in Russia. We did not have toilet paper. So maybe that was, I don't know, maybe the message got through. No meat, there was no cheese, there was no eggs, there was no bread, there was nothing on the shelves. I literally, like, I just got panicky and the tears just started rolling. And I looked at Rich and I said, you got to get me out of here. I just can't. I can't be around here. I like almost, you know, it was becoming a full-blown panic attack. And we got in the car and I said to him, I'm like, never in a million years have I ever thought that this was going to be happening in this unbelievable country. what is happening. And just when you thought we were going to come out of the woods and things get better, it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And now they're promoting people. Governor Wolf is promoting people going and, you know, telling on people and on businesses if
tattletaling.
They're not.
Yep.
Right, which is totally out of socialist playbook, or actually Nazis did the same thing.
Right.
You know, go into neighbor with this constant preaching. People are getting meaner. Like, they're getting nastier. When I was talking with Christine today, you know, there's actually an Americans with Disability Act, which mm-hmm. is a federal law, which overrides any stinking that Wolf can pass on us, mm-hmm. but yet people don't know about it. And I have asthma. Even if I put a mask on, I can't have it near my face because I need to have airflow. Otherwise, I'm going to pass out. People mm-hmm. don't even ask, and Christine brought up a good point. Women who were sexually abused or children who cannot have masks on their faces.
Right.
And as I was
Absolutely.
Saying to Rich, with schools, you're going to have kids who have, you know, who are on the spectrum.
Special needs. Exactly. You know, that's been my fight against schools, too.
Right. And one of the things I brought up to Senator Mastriano in the last hour, Dasha, was, you know, the Pennsylvania Education Secretary has now said that all students must wear masks when they go back to school in September. So I don't know how they're going to do that. We had a school teacher call in, and quite honestly, she's also concerned because it's going to put her in a precarious position, basically, as I said, between a rock and a hard place. I don't understand how a special needs kid is going to have to wear a mask, how a kindergartner is going to have to wear a mask, because, you know, they're going to touch their face, they're going to move the mask around. So it really makes no sense, except it's the way the government is controlling us, and they are grooming us for government control, because next it's going to be, oh, mm-hmm. You're mandated to get the vaccine. You're mandated to get a temperature check before you go into a store. You're mandated, you know, pretty soon, you know, they're going to mandate putting these breathalyzer things on cars for everybody, not just people that get convicted of drunk driving. So one of the things that you talked about this morning when you were when I was listening to you on Christine's show, which I thought was a great story, tell the story about when your family was getting ready to leave Russia and you were not permitted to do something.
Right. So because in Russia they would do anything. It was the same thing. People would tattle on you. And the neighbor watched what you did. Even family members can rat you out. And when we were leaving, my parents did not tell me, old child, my parents did not tell me that we were leaving because they were afraid I would tell somebody something just by accident. And then somebody's going to come in the middle of the night and either arrest us or, frankly, kill us. You know, you always looked over your shoulder. It was, you know, when we immigrated here, and my parents would say to me, if somebody calls and you don't know who it is, answer the phone, you don't know anything. And it's like, you grow mentality that you can't be safe. You can't be safe around your neighbor. You can't be safe in the school. You can't be safe anywhere. So, and this is where we're heading.
I can imagine that after you've seen all that you've seen and now you see what's happening now in our country, you're more determined for this race that you're fighting for right now. And, you know, we are fighting for our freedom, and, you know, it's diminishing right now because of some of the new things that are going on in our country. So I can imagine that this is very dear to your heart.
It is. And you know what? Even this whole attack on the police, it's very communist. Because in Russia, we did not really have police officers. They were called militia, which was a militia, which was government controlled. So think about that. We are being stripped of absolute that this country was built on. They're taking away our security. They're taking away our protection. They're taking away our Constitution. They're taking away our flag. They're taking away our American anthem. Way 4th of July, they managed to do that as well. I mean, seriously, going to wake up. This is not okay. You know, we grew up in a free country, and that our children and our grandchildren will not, should be very, you know, shakening to people.
What I find interesting with what you're talking about as far as our freedoms, I've heard your opponent speak at some women's events, and it's as if there's nothing really going on. And I was so taken back by the fact that this whole pandemic and everything was so nonchalant. Like, you know, and a lot of things didn't make sense. And I love the fact that you are out there fighting for us, and like, you have the empathy to understand where this is leading. You have the fight and the passion in you to continue to fight and push for this so that we can maintain our liberties and our freedoms, because you know exactly how important it is. I feel a lot of our people on the other side of the aisle don't have gotten to the point where they become so complacent because they feel they're safe. And I think it's about time that Republicans start to stand up and rattle that cage a little bit. And I love the fact that you're a candidate that's doing that for us.
And you know, Vicki, what you just said is so true. The Democrats, the party of empathy, supposedly, the party of understanding, have become so desensitized to the people that they're supposed to be representing.
Exactly.
That it's our way or the highway.
Yeah, and they're failing to recognize the people that are suffering, like those who are more suicidal right now, those that are having worse depression, people who are having panic attacks, and you know, those that can't go and get their elective surgeries. So they're not looking out for those people.
No, I mean, even the families and the children who are in abusive situations, because that's one of my little pet things. And dealing with what's going on with them now. Like, there is nowhere out. And this is going to have a lot of effect, like it did with you, with having some sort of PTSD because of the situation. And the longer that this goes on, the worse it's going to get for this next generation of children who are going to be growing up and almost not sure what to do with socializing with other people.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of insecurities happening right now.
They already don't know how to socialize.
Yeah, well, that,
you know, they already don't know because they're sitting with their faces in the phones or playing video games. You know, that's their only way of socializing, and it's almost like I feel like we are going through a social experiment in order to see what it will take to completely take all of our rights away, to keep us silenced, and for the government to just continue to reach into our pockets and to take everything away from us.
Well, Dasha, one of the things that and you have had firsthand experience in this, but this is a natural evolution of the Democratic plan. So first they start the indoctrination in the schools, and then these school children eventually graduate, and now they're out on the street, and they're protesting whatever. Sometimes I wonder if they even know what they're protesting, but anyway, but they're out there.
They got the rhetoric down.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. As Kathy Barnett made a great comment last hour, when I said the woke crowd, so
hashtag woke.
So the next natural part of the evolution is, as you said, tear down the history, like they did in Soviet Russia. And I was it 1916, I think, was the revolution.
And 1916. Then they started renaming towns.
And they start renaming cities. So now, like in Seattle, we have Chaz or Chop or whatever they wanted to call it, you know, which has since disappeared because that wasn't working. But, you know, so they're tearing down history, revamping history. Mm-hmm. Getting rid of the police force, and the way they're getting rid of the police force is making you afraid of the police force. Okay, instead of, I mean, I know for you coming here to this country, coming from a place where people were afraid of the police, as they were, KGB, whatever the what the name was, and to come here where the police actually were helping you, but now they have changed the narrative around where the police are now your enemy, so let's disband them and we'll replace them with some other government entity because that we're going to protect you. It's all a step-by-step process of instituting government control. And I'm sure you see this happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, every single day there's something new that's going on. You know, it's like first they took away, you know, our freedom of our rights just to move around. They made us quarantine. Then they muzzled us and put masks on us. Then it's like every day that we couldn't go to church, so they took away freedom of religion. So, you know, we're supposed to go to church via Zoom. That's great. Zoom seems to be replacing everything.
Can you get communion?
Or like a drive-in theater.
Can you get communion by Zoom? I didn't know that. Yeah.
it's crazy. You know, it's frankly, when I went to church, when the church reopened, it was more traumatic than doing it via Zoom. Because I'm Catholic, and you know, for us, the holy water and the host is a big part of our, you know, of our practice. And you know, there was no holy water. We had to sit, you know, apart every other pew. That you couldn't like really socialize. You were just kind of present there. And that was another place where I cried through the entire Mass. I just sat there and cried. And when it came time for communion, you know, the poor priest had to drop it from 10, like from, you know, 3 feet down. I felt like I needed catcher's mitt so I wouldn't miss.
Oh, I just got
it's
a
like,
picture.
It's like, throwing, yes. It's like throwing peanuts or Skittles, you know.
Open your mouth wide.
It's incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
So, God.
I know. I have this picture in my head now, and it's like to
all
get
my
past
Catholic
it.
School training just went out the window. Now I'm totally having a crisis of faith right now. But anyway, so joining us, Dasha, we have another gentleman who's an immigrant to this country who is running for the 172nd district of the Pennsylvania State House. And I know you've been on with Aaron before, and so you guys have so much in common. So welcome, Aaron Beshear. I know you had an interesting time last night at the FOP, and I've seen some of before you get to speak, I just want to tell you, I was never so proud to call you friend when I seen the response you gave to that woman on Facebook today. Mm. When she said to you that you're a racist for waving the American flag. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your campaign, but tell us what happened last night and how you worded that response to that woman.
Well, first of all, Dan, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always an honor and pleasure, and I'm very happy that Dasha is here today as well. So, well, you know what? I think where we are going right now, the propaganda from the lefties, from the liberals, that, you know, for just waving an American flag and standing with police officers could just portray you as a racist. And that is one of the most ridiculous and foolish, like, you know, perception that you could put out there. So here's the response that I get from one of the women, like, she's on my Facebook saying, hey, I saw you, like, you know, waving a little American flag and you were signing with them and you were, like, you know, with your team against the BLM protesters and somebody caught you on, like, you know, a journalist caught you. And she recorded you. And I said, wow, that's amazing that, you know, if you are standing for your police officer, then if you're just an American flag and if you are, you know, showing your solidarity, that means you're also a villain, just like the police officers, the way, you know, they've been, like, you know, perceiving that concept. I'm like, what? Is that what an amazing news for me? A new news? So, It's ridiculous what's happening around the country. And then I think probably one of other comments you probably never read was since I teach at Community College of Philadelphia, from my colleagues from college. So, like one of our professors, can you hear me,
Doug? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes. We got you.
Yeah,
we got
I hear
okay,
you.
Okay. All right, thanks. So they also sent me some of the comments, you know, oh, it's horrific what we saw you doing there. You know, what? Please educate me about it. What did I do wrong? So if I'm standing for police officers, so I would like to know, you know, why do you think it's horrific and why do you think it's like unacceptable and why do you think I'm on the wrong side? And then I go on and on with my argument saying, hey, these are the same men and women in blue that, you know, take the bullets on their chests every day for you and for me because they sacrifice so much. When they leave for work, they don't even know that if they will come back to their families.
Yep.
And, you know, the statistics, like, you know, all the data, all the statistics, you know, they are self-evident, you know, hundreds of police officers die, you know, they get injured and some of them become disabled forever. And they go out there to protect those they even don't know. Yeah. And isn't it like ridiculous that, you know, we are portraying those men and women, you know, that take the bullets for us, that, you know, sacrifice so much for us, you know, portraying them as villains, portraying them, you know, as our enemies, you know, this is, to me, an anti-American agenda.
Well, Aaron, one of the things that I want to say is what the left is doing is they are guilty of what they are telling or blaming the same police officers of doing. They're painting a broad brush on the actions of a few. And as with any profession, in any walk of life, there's good people and there's bad people.
Right.
So what they don't understand is that these police officers would take a bullet for them even if they didn't agree with them. Mm-hmm. Because their job, most of them are there to protect and serve.
As we're running away from a scene, they're running into it to protect and to settle the scene.
Exactly.
Exactly. And, you know, I just wanted to add that thing. You know, we all agree. You know, no one is perfect. And, you know, this profession is not perfect. And, of course, there are some reforms that need to be made. We all agree on that, you know. But this is not the way, you know, people going out, breaking up the stores, robbing the banks, you know, hurting the communities, hurting, you know, the businesses, hurting the working families. And that's what their approach was. And, you know, the way they portrayed everything, you know, all the policemen and police women are like, you know, bad, you know, just get rid of the police departments. Okay, you know, I'm so sorry for these, but like, you know, who is going to come out and protect you? And all the very same people, I'm 100% sure, you know, at some point they have, you know, used the police officers in their lives. And, you know, the very same people they are coming after. And I find it very hypocritical. I find it very dishonest, you know, that this is absolutely wrong. If we need to save our country, we need to have law and order in our country.
Now, Aaron, like Dasha, you came from a country where your life was in danger because of your religious beliefs. Obviously, you were in a country where, I think if I remember what you quoted me, was 95% Muslim and 5% Christian, and you're a Christian, and so your life was constantly in danger while you were there. So that's one of the reasons you fled to this country, correct?
That's absolutely right. You know, the country that where I come from, you know, Christians are being persecuted every day there. You know, the women are being kidnapped, they are raped, you know, they are forcibly converted to Islam, and, you know, men are, like, you know, tortured, you know, in one way or other way because their only fault is that they are Christian. So I can understand, you know, what the discrimination is. I can relate to that. So if somebody is saying, you know, you are, you know, standing there and you're also racist, even though you're a brown color, you're black color, no. I absolutely understand what the discrimination is. But again, if I stand right now saying, hey, I'm not going to blame everybody in Pakistan for doing that. They're all like, you know, good people and bad people. So that's what people got to understand. Hey, they are good people, they are bad people. So, but you cannot blame everybody right now, what's happening. And you cannot blame all the police officers for police brutality or, like, you know, whatever the issues that you think they are. You know, they are human beings. There are issues. But we can address them in a decent way where we could come up with some common sense solutions, some mutually agreed solutions, you know, with the insights from the community, mm-hmm. you know, from the church leaders, from political leaders, from community leaders, from marginalized communities, and even from the police officers. We need the insights so we could all sit down together and say, hey, here are the issues. What is the best way where, you know, everybody's happy and we could still do the good job without, you know, offending somebody, without going through, you know, any, you know, to the extremes. And that's what we got to stand up for. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. We have to be able to have the conversation. Now, Dasha, one of the things that you've said many times was your dad, he was sent to Siberia twice for, you can tell the listeners what the reasons were. Why was your dad, A, sent to Siberia twice, but the most important thing is he was willing to take the risk again of being sent to Siberia to get his family to this country. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, my dad, there was a couple of reasons why we came here. One was a religious institution, because under communism, your only religious practice is communism. Whoever is the leader of the party, that's your God, or at least that's what they tried to make it to believe. But my father he went against communism, and he belonged to this secret society kind of. It was a underground movement, poets and writers who would get together and talk politics. Sometimes they would tell.
You're fading in and out a little bit, Dasha, just so you know.
Yeah, I think it's the weather we're having. Right. It's been a little gnarly out here. So my dad is a painter, and him and his friends, they would, you know, put their paintings in Gorky Park, which were politically incorrect, and the KGB would come and gather them, and some of them would get sent to mental institutions. Some were imprisoned. My dad was sent to Siberia. And then my dad would come back out because my grandfather, who was a very high-ranking captain, and during World War II, he was actually in charge of any submarines. I think he had a fleet of 3,000 ships under him. So he would cut to the red tape, get my father out. My father would then reconnect with his friends, and off to the races we went. So, you know, he was willing to stand up for his rights, for his freedom of speech, for his freedom of expression. And it's funny because we talk about it now, and my mom says, oh, my God, I can't believe we could have been murdered. I'm like, yeah, you could have. You know, but they were not even thinking, I guess. I mean, they were early 30s. So, you know, they weren't thinking about their own
mortality.
You know, they were willing to do anything because they knew how sacred the individuality and their freedom was. And again, to see what people are willing to give away here, something that people in other countries fight for, it's mind-boggling to me.
Well, and for you and for Aaron, you know, people that basically fled a bad situation to come here for a better situation, and now you're seeing it drifting towards what you fled from. Aaron,
exactly.
Aaron, what do you think about all this?
Well, Don, I think we should be really, really thankful, grateful that we are here in the United States of America. And we are not saying it is a perfect country, but this is, of course, one of the best countries that we are living in. You know, if you really wanted to know what the discrimination is, just go live in a country that where we came from. you know, and then you would exactly know what the real discrimination looks like. You know, here we have freedom of speech. Here we have freedom of religion. Here we have so many freedoms. You know, you can be whatever you want to be. The first thing where you need to start off is on the perception that, you know, there is discrimination and it's going to stop you in this society. You know, well, the first thing you got to work on this, you know, develop your skills, educate yourself, start your own business. You know, start relying on the government. You know, start saying and start complaining that, you know, oh, you are a minority, you have a certain color, and America is against you, and you cannot do anything in life. That is the first thing you got to change. The second thing you got to do is, you know, as I said, educate yourself. And, you know, with the positive attitude, with the positive determination, trust me, no one can stop you anywhere. And, you know, the laws we have, the independent court we have, trust me, if you just, you know, focus on an agenda, no racism, like, you know, no isms can stop you. That's what I strongly and firmly believe. However, we should also be wise enough, because a lot of people, they're not wise enough to see the truth. You know, there's a propaganda. There's an agenda from the left and liberals. They want to divide this country. They want to portray police officers as villains. You know, they wanted to divide us on the issues of racism, you know, socialism, communism, you know, so much crap going on. The bottom line is because this serves their political interests, and especially the Democratic Party, that's what they've been doing. You know, they've been playing all these cards, always, especially, you know, they wanted to keep people on welfare. You know, they wanted to keep people, you know, complaining about racism. You know, they wanted to keep dividing the country over this issue, because that's how they win the election. That's how they get their votes. You know, that's where they are funding all their money. You know, and that is a bitter truth. People need to wake up, because if we don't, we won't have the country anymore. And, you know, they need to understand that, you know, we are blessed to have in this country. We should protect this country, and we are starting slowly and gradually. You know, starting with, you know, people's perception, saying, hey, you know, America is against you. You know, America doesn't like you because you have black color, brown color. No, this is not right. You know, I've been in Republican party. I am black. I'm brown, you know. And I have never faced any racism. You know, I've been in this country for the last 20 years. You know, I don't see anybody discriminating me, you know, because just for my color. So the content of their character is the most important thing that we should be focusing on. So people need to wake up and understand, you know, if they don't wake up now, if they don't come out and vote for the right people like me, like Dasha, you know, we'll be handing out this country to those people who wanted to keep us divided, who wanted to keep telling us lies. So it's very important that people vote, and people vote for Republican candidates. Why? Because they have seen the chaos, they have seen all the trouble in front of their eyes right now.
I have a question for both Dasha and Aaron. If you would have remained in your country, because I think a lot of the people and the age group that needs to be woken up on this, I don't think they realize how grateful they should be to be in the country that they are. Would you have been able to get the education back in your old countries like you have received now to be able to do whatever it was that you wanted to accomplish? Or would you have been told where you were supposed to go to school, what you were supposed to learn, and what vocation or job you were supposed to take?
You know, I'm so glad you answered this question. Dasha, I will take this first one, and then you can go ahead also elaborate on that. See, like, for me as a Christian in Pakistan, right, I already know my limits, because the limits are being set by the government, by the Islamic, you know, law, by the Islamic system that's being implemented. The first thing in the Constitution is that, you know, any laws that are against Islamic, ideology, it cannot be the law. So that's where you're right there, where you lose your freedom of, you know, religion. So now, the second thing, as a Christian, you can never be the prime minister, you can never be the president, and you can never hold the key positions, the executive positions, as a Christian in Pakistan. Why? Because you're not a Muslim. And the third thing, the blasphemy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
These are the things we need to know.
This is what I call
discrimination. Yeah, because we never knew this.
Right.
Yeah, this is what we call discrimination, the real discrimination, all right? And this is what I call the discrimination that, just an incident I wanted to share, you know. A guy's name, Nadeem Joseph, a Christian from Pakistan, you know, young couple with three children. I do not remember exact number of children, but he dares to buy a house in a neighborhood where it is, like, you know, heavily populated Muslim neighborhood, and where they're very, very, like, you know, radicals and extremists, and they killed him. They shot him. And the reason was, you know, they wouldn't allow a Christian to come and live in that neighborhood where, you know, they all were Muslim, and they didn't want him to come in that.
Oh, my God.
So Lord.
So the person died. The person died. It's like last week that's what happened. All right? And then I just want to say a few more things, you know. The girls are being taken, you know, 15, 17 years old girls. They are kidnapped, and they are forcibly converted to Islam. And, you know, they are raped. And then the next thing, when the family goes in the court to recover them, guess what? The judge is Muslim. Everybody's Muslim. And they write down a stamp paper, like, you know, it's like an affidavit. They say, bring it to the judge, saying, oh, she accepted the Islam. Even though she's a minor, guess what? The family cannot do anything about it. The girl is gone forever. They cannot meet him. And now she's being raped. She's being slaved. And the Christians cannot do anything about it.
And there's no police authority there either,
right.
Is there?
And they don't come out. You cannot do anything about it legally.
So basically, Aaron, as a Christian in Pakistan, you have no rights at all.
Absolutely right. You're living in a hell. You know, that's
Jesus.
All. So that's what I called. And here we should be thankful. You know,
grateful for the country we have.
Grateful.
And the freedom of religion.
Grateful would be the word I would use.
Yes.
You know, I mean, my grandfather told me stories about when he escaped from Nazi Germany. He was one of the fortunate few that were able to escape before they closed the country off. But he told me stories of things that were going on. But you have actually lived it. And obviously, we're going to let Dasha answer the question that Vicky asked.
Well, in Russia, it was also very similar thing. You did not have an average person could not become anything they wanted. Like, you know, if I wanted to run for government, that could never happen. That was not an option. Usually it was passed down from generation to generation. So one KGBer would give it to, so their next child would be a KGBer, and it kind of went on and on. Just like royalty, you know, it was one of those things. And in school, school went to 10th grade, and first of all, our school, we actually had to go to school on Saturday as well, where they could indoctrinate you even further. But in 8th grade, it was a mandatory test that you had to take. It was similar to, I guess, our SAT, except it was a multiple choice. You had to actually write. And if they felt, if the government, that you were, or you were, whatever, that pick something, they would put you towards working in a factory.
So basically, in the 8th grade, you took a test, and your whole life's career was dictated on how an 8th grader answered his questions on a test, and they would tell you were a factory worker, a street worker, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. You know, I mean, is that the basic gist of it?
That's the gist of it. And the other part, it was how you were, what was your influence in the Communist Party. So when you were in first grade, you became this, which is the child of Lenin. And it was great on, you know, when you were kind of moved into that level. And then I guess by fourth grade, you became a pioneer. Mm-hmm. So, and then from that, I guess when you become a teenager, you became, I already forgot because I never got to that point. Thank God.
Thank God.
But it was an honor.
But, you know, they indoctrinated you. And all of those things, all those steps were determined by the patriotic you were to the country. My mom was actually me. That she...
You're fading in and out again, Dosh.
Pioneered.
Dosh, we can't hear you.
My mom was... can you hear me now?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Just don't move. Talk from there.
So my mom was telling me a story when she, in Russia, when you became a pioneer, they did it in stages. So if you were like an excellent student, you would go in the first wave, then somebody would go in the second wave. And my mom, who was raised Catholic, was eating an Easter egg, and they determined, because she was practicing Catholicism, that she ended up becoming a pioneer in the last wave. And she was very, like, she wasn't upset about it, but she was upset that, you know, she was like the last one with the kids who were getting bad grades or whatever. But everything you did determined by your patriotism and your commitment to the Communist Party. So if you weren't committed, then you probably would have been the street sweeper. So everything was determined by that.
Now, but you could have been the most intelligent person that should have been somebody who was a doctor in their community, but because your religion was different, they decided that you would be a street sweeper instead of a doctor or a physician.
Well, first they would beat the religion out of you, and then they'll decide what they were going to do with you. So you could not have, like... And it became worse and worse and worse as time went on. If it wasn't for Gorbachev, I don't know what would have happened to Russia, you know, just in general. But, well, yeah, it was...
Go ahead. Well, one of the things I wanted to say, you know, and Aaron, you can jump in on this too, because it's interesting we're hitting the religious aspect of this, and it seems like sometimes that's the elephant in the room that people don't want to talk about. But one of the left's big indoctrinations are removing religion from every aspect of life. They start it in the schools, and then, of course, they want to take the Ten Commandments off of courthouses. You can't have a nativity scene out on a public property. So, Aaron, you can answer this first. For somebody that faced religious prosecution, how do you see the elimination of religion affecting the direction the country's going?
Well, John, let me be honest here. The only discrimination in the United States that I have ever felt is the discrimination and the attack on our Christian faith. You know, that's what I have felt here. Why? Because, you know, as a Christian, when I migrated from Pakistan to United States, you know, the general perception all around the world is that United States, like, you know, they're like majority of the people are Christian. It's going to be a Christian country. And when you get in there, you will be, you know, treated as a Christian and you'll be valued as a Christian. However, you know, this is what I have felt like. You know, the constant attacks on Christian faith from the liberals, from the left, as you just mentioned, you know, they don't want you to, you know, as a Christian, profess the name of Jesus Christ. You know, they hate it. Whenever in the media you know, mention even that name, just look at the rage that they would have. And then, you know, they have taken the Ten Commandments out. So now I'm addressing to Christians specifically. You know, just think about it. You know, if you are a Christian, think about it, you know, how the Democratic Party, how the liberals and the lefties, what they've been doing to our faith. And, you know, they have taken our, like, you know, Christian monuments from the Supreme Court. You know, they've been like, they don't want you to, you know, come out and profess the name of Christ. You know, they don't want you to talk about your faith. You know, they don't want even the Christian values to be any longer, you know, being practiced in United States, because, you know, they are pushing for the single families. They are against the nuclear families, the traditional families. They are against the traditional marriage. You know, they are for all the abortions. You know, they are killing hundreds and hundreds and thousands of babies, and especially the African-American babies. The black African-American babies who are being aborted, and who is funding them, who is, you know, pushing for that agenda, the Democrat Party, the liberals, the lefties. Yep. So as a Christian, you got to wake up saying, hey, who am I supporting right now? You know, am I really on the side of the truth, the justice, and God? Or am I on the side of the devil? Everything that they are doing.
And that, amen. Aaron, that pretty much sums it up. You know, are you on God's side or you're on the devil's side? I mean, that pretty much sums it up. Yeah. Now, Dasha.
You know, I'm so sorry. I'm very outspoken.
No. These are things that
we are honored that you are outspoken. These are things that we need to hear. These are things that everybody listening needs to hear. And we need to spread these messages out far and wide. So we are honored you are outspoken.
Now, Dasha, in Russia, one of the first things they did when they did the communist takeover was eliminate any religious meetings, worship, or anything like that, because they saw religion as the enemy of the state. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, absolutely. And it was any religion. It was actually Judaism as well. And frankly, I see the anti-Semitism here. You know, it's going, you know, just it's horrible. An attack on our religions, freedoms, whether you're Christian or Jewish. It's, you know, one of the things that I say and one of the things that I've noticed is we've turned into a godless country.
Yes.
A lot of the young people do not believe, do not have faith. Some of them are not spiritual. They're proud that they're atheists. If, you know, I'm not saying that all of them are like this, but if we grow up in a godless country and you lose compassion, you lose understanding, you lose a lot of qualities, you know, Christ is love, right? And that's how we view it. And God is love. And if you take that away, you know, that's where we have this craziness going on. People stopped respecting one another. They don't view each other as human beings. They don't respect the police. They don't respect the elders. They don't respect their community. They don't respect anything because they're growing up godless. And like Aaron said, they're growing up in single families.
Right.
Now, I was divorced and I raised the kid's dad was involved, but I, you know, I was a single parent for a while. And, you know, I think because I grew up with faith and I dragged my kids to church and with kicking and screaming, but they went, you know, they grew up in that environment, in that community environment, because church was a community.
Well,
and now if you don't have that, you don't have, when you're going through hardship and you don't have community and you don't have faith, how are you going to get through stuff?
Well, because if you don't have that, the Democrats' plan is that makes you a victim. And
correct.
when you're a victim, then you rely on the state to bail you out instead of worrying about taking care of yourself. One of the things that my mom was a devout Catholic. She had faith, probably a faith for 1,000 people. And when my mom was dying, she died. She had brain cancer. And so one day we were in the hospital before we brought her home for hospice. And I said to her, because my mom was young, she was 68 years old. And I said to her, I said, are you mad at God for having this happen to you? And her words to me was, why would I be?
Yep.
She said, why would I be mad at God? He gave me 3 wonderful children, a husband that loved me, and I've had a great life. And if this is my time to go, it's my time to go. And one of the greatest lessons my mother taught me and my religion taught me, forget all the trappings and the you know, the rules and all this other stuff. Forget all that. Because men are men. You know, and women, but you know, what I'm saying. Men make rules.
Kind of outnumbered here. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, men make rules, and men make mistakes.
Right.
But religion teaches you empathy for your fellow human beings. Of all the other things, religion, and when you take that away, you no longer have respect for the life of another human being.
It also teaches you forgiveness.
Yes.
And those two important things are the things that will help you understand other people, which in turn creates empathy.
Actually.
And that's the thing that we're losing, is the respect, the love, and the empathy of other people. Like, I can remember growing up, and if you went to the neighbor's house, you didn't even walk on the grass. Like, your dad would go, get off that yard. You're supposed to be using the sidewalks. That's why they made sidewalks. Today, they're going and they're writing and putting graffiti on monuments that have been there and have been part of our history.
Well, here's a perfect example, and we've only got like a minute left, so I just want to bring this up. How many of us know our neighbors?
I'm the mayor, so I do.
But what I'm saying to you is, when I was growing up, we knew everybody on the street.
Yep.
And the people on the street, we didn't call them sir or ma'am. It was aunt or uncle, you know. And if you got out of hand, I still remember my Uncle Mickey, that's what we called him, dragging me home by the ear because I was doing something wrong, okay? But we would never deface one of our neighbor's property. We would never do anything wrong. And we became a community. And we've done away with that. So we've only got about a half a minute or so left. So, Dasha, why don't you give everybody your contact information for the campaign?
They can reach me at DashaForCongress.com or on Facebook page. It's also Dasha for Congress. There's a group and a page. So, yes, please reach out. I always love to hear from people in our community.
And when you reach out, don't forget to make a donation, because every campaign needs a donation. Aaron, where can people reach you?
Well, they can reach me at my website, aaronforstate.com. They can also follow me on the Facebook. And just a short message, if you are for Christian faith, if you are against abortions, if you believe in traditional, you know, family, traditional marriage, if you are for America, if you really wanted to keep this country in safe hands, please vote for me, Aaron Bashir. Please vote for Dasha Pure.
Aaron,
for all the
I spell your last name for everybody so they know where to find you.
Okay, it's Aaron Bashir, and Bashir is B-A-S-H-I-R.
Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on the Dope Backdown Show.
Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.